The first reading is taken from the Old Testament, Joel 2, verses 28 to 32. And afterwards, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, there will be deliverance, as the Lord has said, among the survivors whom the Lord calls. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The second reading is taken from Revelations 21, verses 1 to 5, the New Jerusalem. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Now the dwelling of God is with the men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
This morning we are receiving a talk given for us from Professor Jamie Hackey Hughes, who's a professor of clinical psychology. And I hope I got that right. But he specializes in treating service personnel who are affected by trauma. And Lord, I just pray that you will open our hearts and minds to receive the message that Jamie has for us this morning. Let us listen to someone who has seen the effects of the horrors of war.
May I speak in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Although I am a veteran, I served as a young officer in Germany during the Cold War and in Northern Ireland during the Troubles. And although I come from a family whose members have served in the military for several generations, Ian has very kindly asked me to speak today on the basis of my being a former military psychologist and someone who spent the past 25 years specialising in the study and treatment of psychological trauma. We are here today to remember the sacrifices made by young women and men who, in serving our country, laid down their lives, not only in the Great War and the Second World War, but also in so many other armed conflicts since then. In fact, there have been over 30 of them since 1945, including Aden, Kenya, Cyprus, Lebanon, Palestine, Suez, Korea, Malaya, the Falklands, Northern Ireland, and more recently Bosnia, Kosovo, Sierra Leone, Iraq, and Afghanistan. More than 1 million armed forces personnel were killed during the First and Second World Wars, and nearly 10,000 have been killed since. One of my grandfathers served on the length of the Western Front, and 2 years ago, my brother and I traveled to Belgium and France to retrace his steps. We were humbled by the sights and the extent of the many, many cemeteries now beautifully maintained by the Commonwealth War Graves Commission. And most poignant, without a doubt, was that at Tyne Cot, where 12,000 Commonwealth servicemen and women are buried, over 8,000 of them unidentified. Many of you, I know, will know exactly what I'm speaking about. And in the same war, my other grandfather patrolled the English Channel in a motor torpedo boat, hunting German submarines who were intent on inflicting huge losses on the many Allied convoys passing through. So we are here today because we want to remember, so that losses on that scale never happen again. We want to remember, and we choose to remember. But sometimes the memories are painful, and rightly, and quite understandably so. In our first reading, we heard the prophet Joel foreseeing a day when sons and daughters would prophesy, old men would dream dreams, and young men would see visions. He was talking, of course, about the second coming, the day of the Lord. But even in our day, this prophecy has, in a way, strangely, already been fulfilled. I'll tell you what I mean. I think that one of the greatest privileges that I've had during my career as a military psychologist was a number of years ago to work with a lovely man in his 90s. He had been a flight engineer in the RAF, serving on B-24 Liberator bombers and carrying out countless bombing raids across the continent. He told me that all 9 of his fellow crew members, pilot, co-pilot, navigator, bomb aimer, radio operator, and nose, waist, and tail gunners, all 9 who'd been with him when he joined the aircraft, had all been killed, one by one, often horrifically. He'd had nightmares about this all his life, but in accordance with the culture of his day, he never spoke about them, although his wife had heard him scream in his bed nearly every night. But with increasing age and the onset of cognitive decline, the nightmares worsened, and he began to think and speak about their content and become more and more and more distressed. But miraculously, almost, his local GP diagnosed him and referred him to the Military Mental Health Service just down the road in Colchester, where I worked, referred him for treatment, and I'm glad to say that was most successful. It was an honor for me to know that gentleman and to be his psychologist. So old men do indeed dream dreams. Tales of my great-great-great-grandfather indicate that when he returned to his Welsh valley after fighting at the Battle of Waterloo, where nearly 50,000 on both sides were killed or wounded in a single day, and I still have his cartridge pouch and boot jacks behind me. When he returned, he was a changed and deeply troubled man. So old men do dream dreams, and they remember things that they would rather not remember. And tragically, nearly 80 years after the beginning of the conflict that saw the erection of the cenotaph and the first Remembrance Sunday, very sadly, there are many young men and women who see visions too. Post-traumatic stress disorder affects up to 15% of those who've served in battle. It is most severe in young men, in women, in reservists, in those who've been under fire, and in those who've seen their colleagues killed or injured, or those who've been injured themselves. At least that's what we found when I researched this with colleagues in a research team down at King's College London some years ago. In post-traumatic stress disorder, what happens is that the mind attempts to process memories that are far too horrific to be processed in the normal way. And so these memories and thoughts and visions, for that is what they are presented as dreams, nightmares, and the much talked about flashbacks. And because they're much too difficult to think about, they're suppressed, and all our mind is avoided, thus maintaining the cycle, perhaps for a lifetime. And understandably, in a way, sufferers turn to drink and drugs, some of them, in an attempt to cope. And tragically, some often resort to suicide because the suffering is just sometimes too great to bear. One can be deployed in a combat role these days from the age of 18 in this country, and so young men and women do indeed see visions. And rather than choosing to remember, as we do, these young and now perhaps middle-aged women and men are forced to remember often unspeakable things that they would much rather forget. In the same way that we all today remember and bring to mind all those killed in conflict, so might we also think of those still suffering in body and mind as a result of their experiences much more recently, including those who do not or might not choose to remember the things that they have heard, seen, done, or witnessed. But fortunately, we have a range of effective psychological treatments now, and it's been my huge privilege to work with countless women and men from all three services, active, reservist, and veterans, and see them brought to health and wholeness. And this is what God promises us, and all of those killed in war, disaster, and terrorist violence, all those who we remember today. God promises us not just healing, and a return to health and wholeness in minds and bodies in our lifetimes, but in heaven and in the future where, as we've heard in our second reading from the book of Revelation, there will be a new Jerusalem, a new heaven, a new earth, and a holy city. And a loud voice from God's throne will say, "Now, the dwelling of God is with them, and he will live with us. We will be his people, and God himself will be with us and be our God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more tears, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." And this is our faith. So let us let them rest in peace and rise in glory. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you all.